Thank you, Stacy. More than wonderful. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Been talking about I am, knowing God more personally. Knowing who God is through the I am statements in the Bible. Do you remember what I challenged you with last week? Testing your memory here. Last week I challenged you to pray a prayer, a dangerous prayer. God, use me to affect someone. Does anybody have any stories? This is like when you're in class and you decide, I'm going to look down, and if I don't make eye contact, they won't pick me. Cindy? Too scared to pray it? I am. God is I am. Knowing God more personally. He wants to be involved in our lives, and he wants to use us. When you look at the people that God uses in the Bible, some of them, why would God choose some of these people? Not just in the Old Testament, but the New Testament. Pick one. Paul was persecuting God's church, was there, the Bible tells us, holding the jackets of those who were stoning early believers. He himself was going around and he had permission to arrest early believers. God wants to use us. Which door do you choose? There's a game show that was on a long time ago, Let's Make a Deal. Watch it. He says, watch it. Let's Make a Deal. But it's come back. In 2009, the show started airing again in daytime television, and it's all about contestants trying to make a deal. And they bring out something, and they say, well, we'll give you $500. But would you like to trade that $500 for what's in this box or what's behind that curtain? And sometimes it's a better prize than what they were given. Sometimes it's something worthless. But at the end of the show, at least a new version, I don't know how the old version ended, but in the newer version, they do the big deal of the day. And the big deal of the day is they pick somebody that's won a big prize, and they say, would you like to do the big deal of the day? And the big deal of the day is three curtains. And there's prizes behind each one, but they give up what they had won in order to play the next game, the big deal, and find out if they're going to win something even bigger. And they say the big deal of the day is worth $26,398. Well, that's more than what I only won a couple thousand. I could win that. But they pick a door. Which door should they choose? Door number one, door number two, or door number three? They don't know what prize is behind what. Sometimes in life, we're given opportunities as well, doors to choose, and they don't look like door number one, door number two, or door number three a lot of times. They're questions as we go through life, we have to figure things out. Do I go to college? Do I not go to college? If I'm going to college, which college do I go to? And how do I pick that? If you decide not to go to college, where do I work? Where should I start my career? Is there some path that I should go on? Which door should I walk through? And sometimes we just kind of happenstance go through doors, and the doors kind of pick us rather than us picking the doors. Which career should I choose? If you're older in life, you go, maybe I should switch jobs. This job did not end up the way I thought it was going to. Maybe I need a new career. What about your family? Who should I marry or who should I date? Or should we have kids or not? You have all of these questions in life, doors that you can open or close. And I remember as Stacy and I, we'd just gotten married, and God called me away from the ministry I was in. And a couple months later, I realized, okay, I think the reason he called me was away because I could go to seminary. And so I start searching for seminaries, and there was a seminary in Minnesota, right? Minnesota that I had applied to, I had felt God calling me to, I thought that was where God was going to lead us, we made plans, we're thinking in this direction, and finally we say, okay, let's go visit, and we go and we visit, and we walk around the campus, and we talk to the advisor, and it just became very evident that was not where God wanted us to go. But God, you led us on, now you're saying no. This door is closing. Why? Well, when one door closes, God opens another door. But at that point, I felt, I looked over all the seminaries and narrowed it down to this one. Then we had to start over. What's that? And it was June. School's starting in August. There was a little pressure there. But sometimes God chooses to close doors. This morning, we're going to be talking about Jesus saying, I am the door of the sheep. Why sheep? Of all the animals, why sheep? With this sheep sticking his tongue out at us this morning. Jesus often in his time talking with people, he would use stories or parables or analogies, things that were very common experiences or circumstances that would be going on in people's everyday life. I can imagine as Jesus is standing there teaching that there could be sheep just off in the distance. Say, Ellie likes to play a game. And she likes it. She would make a noise and have us guess what the noise is. And so she'll make animal noises, or she'll try to make animal gestures or animal things, and we guess about those. Kids, what sound does a sheep make? Yeah, what is it? Baa. Kids, can I have you do that this morning? Baa. A little bit louder. There you go. I can imagine that they're there, they can hear the sheep. And Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. Sheep have some pretty interesting characteristics. Sheep are defenseless. Their only defense is they can run away. And if they're not faster than what's coming after them, they're defenseless. Sheep are prone to go astray. Sheep have poor eyesight. I learned this week, that they don't have any depth perception. However, they can see 300 degrees. So they only have 60 degrees of field of vision that they miss. They can see 300 degrees because their eyes are on the side of their heads. They follow other sheep. If you can get one sheep to go, then you can get other sheep to follow. But sheep are very stubborn. So sometimes getting that one sheep to go is not the easiest thing in the world. The thing about sheep is at nighttime they would bring them into a sheepfold. It was a circular corral made of stone, and they would put thorns on top, and there would be one little entrance. And at nighttime, the shepherd often would lay in that entrance, keeping the sheep in and keeping other things out. During the day, the shepherd would take the sheep out and the sheep would graze, but sheep are pretty picky eaters. They like fresh grass. And in that climate, it's a desert area, it's not always easy to find the grass. And so the shepherd's job is to know where the grass is, to know where the water is, so he can lead his sheep to get nutrition, to get nourishment. Sheep are very relational animals. They like to stay close to each other. They also are relational with their shepherd. They get to know him. And they obey when the shepherd calls them. So keeping all that in mind, those facts about sheep, let's look at our text this morning, because all of that has to do with what Jesus is going to talk here this week and next. This week we're going to look at Jesus being the door for the sheep, and next week we're going to talk about Jesus being the good shepherd. But this week we're just going to cover the first 10 verses. John 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Verse 7, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The context of this chapter, we talked about John chapter 8, where they bring the woman before Jesus who committed adultery, and Jesus says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And Jesus looks up and they're all gone. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. John chapter 9, Jesus heals this man, but nobody can believe that he healed him. He had been born blind, blind from birth. But he was born blind so that God's power might be shown through him, through Jesus. And then the Pharisees are still there. They're still involved. At the end of chapter 9, we talked about last week, Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees, and they had just kicked this blind man out, and Jesus comes to him and says, would you believe in me? And the man says, yes, I believe. And then verse 40 of chapter 9, some of the Pharisees near him heard the things that Jesus had said, and they said to him, are we also blind? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. Do you understand in the original text, there's no break there. It just continues. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you. And it continues there. Jesus' conversation, he's still talking, and the Pharisees are still listening. Jesus is still having this interaction with them. We're going to see three characteristics in this passage that help us understand Jesus being the door. Three characteristics of sheep that are going to help us understand this phrase that Jesus used when he says, I am the door of the sheep. The first one is that sheep are vulnerable to danger. We talked about that a little bit before, but sheep are very vulnerable to danger. What are the dangers that they would have been facing? Well, they had to be led to the food and the water. It was a desert climate. They had to be careful. Shepherds had to watch that people didn't come in and steal their sheep, because there were those, as the passage talked about, who were thieves and robbers that wanted to just get something from nothing, so they would come in and steal the sheep. There were tall cliffs and rough terrain. They had to watch out for the sheep getting near, that they wouldn't fall to their death. There were also many animals: bears, lions, leopards, wolves, panthers, hyenas, and jackals. Oh my. There were lots of animals that the shepherds had to watch out for. And even in the Old Testament, David talks about, well, when the bear and the lion came, I fought them and I got back the sheep. These are realities for shepherds. There are dangers that they're trying to keep the sheep, help them avoid. We also face many dangers living in this world. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. We face these temptations, these desires from the world that can lead us astray. Paul puts it this way in Galatians chapter 5, right before the fruit of the Spirit, he says, now the works of the flesh, these two are opposite, fruit of the Spirit, works of the flesh. He's going to talk about the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says these are things that you have to watch out for. Sheep can pretty easily get led astray. Sometimes it's doesn't happen fast. They nibble a little bit of grass and they say, that's good. And they just keep going. And they nibble and they nibble and they nibble, and all of a sudden they look up. Where are the rest of the sheep? They were here before. Bah. Bah. Where'd they go? I don't hear an answer back. Where'd the rest of the sheep go? We're the same way. Something appeals to our nature, and Paul and John both talk about that, and we taste something and we start nibbling. Pretty soon we look up and, like the sheep, we've gotten ourselves lost. We've gotten ourselves away from the shepherd, and he didn't leave us. We left him. Not only are we away from the shepherd, but now we're away from the rest of the sheep. And nibbling with sin doesn't just get you away from your relationship with Jesus, but it affects your relationship with other people as well. And you think, oh, this doesn't do anything. This isn't going to cause any harm. But the more you keep sin hidden in your life, the more it gets tucked away, the more distant you will become with others. The more lies you believe in, the less truth you will understand. The more lies you believe in, the less truth you will be understand, and you will become fake with others. You'll become shallow with others. You won't want to talk deep with others because you now have something hidden in your life. What are the lies that Christians are believing? The major one is that God doesn't have a good plan for me, so I'm going to have to come up with it on my own. Isn't that what Adam and Eve believed? God doesn't really know what he's doing. So I'm going to have to take control on my own. And I'm going to have to do my own things. These have repercussions that we think, oh, we can do whatever we want. That we strive for more and more money, that pride isn't an issue in my life, that jealousy isn't a problem, that the abuse of drugs or alcohol or other things, that's not an issue. Stealing is fine as long as you don't get caught. Lying doesn't do any damage as long as it's little. Cheating is just a part of life. We do it in sports, right? Gossiping doesn't hurt anyone. And all of these are done so that I can feel powerful, so that I can lift myself up, so that I can have instant gratification, or so I can fit in with people around me. But they're all lies that we are believing. And we wander away from the shepherd and through and away from the rest of the sheep. Do you find yourself close to the shepherd this morning? Do you find yourself, I know you're in a room with a bunch of other sheep, but do you find yourself close to the shepherd? The second thing we learn this morning is that sheep listen to and follow their shepherd. Jesus says the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You see, in those days, some families didn't have a lot of money, and so they wouldn't have a lot of sheep, but many families had sheep. And so at nighttime, they would need to have a place where they could take their sheep, and they would, several families together would place their sheep in this sheepfold, and they would hire a shepherd who would care for the sheep over the night so that they could get some rest. And the shepherd would lay in front of the door, and in the morning, how do we sort out these sheep? The sheep know the shepherd, and so the shepherd would come, and he would have a specific call, and the shepherd would call his sheep, and those sheep would come out. The rest of the sheep would just go on doing whatever they're doing. They would pay no attention. The next shepherd would come, and he would call his sheep, and those three or four sheep would make their way out. The rest of the sheep would just pay no attention because it's not their master's voice. It's not the shepherd's voice that they're used to. And the last shepherd would finally come, and he'd call, and they'd just come out, and that's how they sorted out their sheep. The sheep listened and followed the shepherd. I find it really interesting, verse 6. And it's funny that many commentaries don't say a word about this, but look at verse 6 with me. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. He says, the sheep know my voice, and the Pharisees did not understand what he was saying. Why? Because they weren't his sheep. They didn't get it. But John says that Jesus said that the sheep know my voice and they follow me. I have a little video. It might be a little hard to hear, but it's of a shepherd going out and calling the sheep. It was done on a phone. It looks like it's a YouTube video, so hopefully you'll get the idea. Sheep came. The sheep know their master's voice. A lot of times, it's reward that they're getting. They're coming in to eat, and so the shepherd calls them, and they know. They follow his voice. But Isaiah chapter 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. Do you find yourself listening for the shepherd's call? And when he calls you and asks you to follow him, do you listen and obey? Final point this morning, sheep require safety and nurturing. This goes along with the sheep are being vulnerable, but they require safety and nurturing. Jesus says that he is the door. The purpose of the door was to keep the bad out and keep the good in. The safety comes from using the door and being led at the appropriate times to know when it is safe to go in and out of the fold. Jesus uses two analogies here. He calls himself the shepherd and the door. And in those times, in those days, the shepherd was literally the door at times. keeping watch over the flock. He calls his sheep in at nighttime, and then he lays in front of the door to protect them, and then he leads them out in the morning to find pasture and water to drink. He's constantly watching over his sheep to protect them from the dangers that they face and find the proper nourishment for them. Jesus says, salvation can only come by entering through the door. I am the door. It's going to sound familiar in a few weeks when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus is trying to get this point across, but that salvation only comes through him. Abundant life can only come through him. Some people say there are many ways to get to heaven. One I hear most often is, if I do enough good, I'll go to heaven. If my good works outweigh my bad, I'll go to heaven. Well, who is keeping track of that? Am I going to have to keep track of that because I don't have that many fingers? Or I can pay for the bad things that I've done and therefore it'll wipe out. No. The Jewish people believed if we just follow the rules, it'll get us to heaven. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees were bent on following the rules, not necessarily God's rules, but man's rules that they'd made up based on God's rules. Just following all of the rules. Jesus said, there's only one way to get salvation. There's only one way to have abundant life. He said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The end of verse 10 there. And that is to go through Jesus, the door to salvation. You entered a lot of doors to get here this morning. Probably went through doors at your house. You went through your front door. You got in a vehicle and you entered a door there, and you came in the church and you entered doors. And we've gone through multiple doors, and it was kind of funny, that door wasn't opening this morning. Probably could have turned that into an illustration of some sort, but we won't go there. But there's doors. You go through doors all the time, but Jesus says, I am the only door. I am the only way to get to God. There's only one way. Jesus came so we'd have life and have life more abundantly, but it's only through our relationship with him, entering through the door, the gate that's there. Abundance is found in the Christian life through listening and obeying to his voice as he leads us in and out of the sheepfold. He takes care of us. He nurtures us. He cares for us. We know him because he is our shepherd. When he calls, we know it is his voice because we've heard it before. Would you pray with me? Father, help us as we go through this series talking about I am, that you are the door to the sheep. God, many are led astray by the temptations of this world. God, help us to realize the things in our lives that pull us away. God, help us to look for you always when we're facing those things in our lives, that we look for you and we seek after you and we listen for your voice. We listen for your call so that we can follow you and you alone, not these things of the world. God, I pray that you would help us as we go through our day and our week, that we might be able to drown out the voices of the world that pull us, to help us nibble in directions that aren't following you. God, help us to ignore those and only listen to the one true shepherd we have, who knows us each by name, who calls us. God, help us to listen and obey. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.